Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm excited about having our good buddy Mike Musso back on the show. Mike is the author of They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. He's a speaker and a trainer, and he helps organizations large and small to put their best foot forward in the 21st century in a lot of different ways. Especially in the area of leadership, especially in the area of communications, cross-generational communications. And he's here to talk to us about something that, to continue our series. Really, we've been doing a long-running series on this whole cross-generational communication issue. And Mike, sometimes there's communication and sometimes there's not, right?
Well, good morning, Jim. Thank you so much for having me back.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing how things are a matter of perception. When I talk to leadership teams and management teams, they feel like they're communicating just up one side and down the other. And then before I do the work and I interview the managers or do surveys to go in and work with a client, you know, what I hear from the middle management and the employees is, you know, they just don't feel like they're being communicated to. It's an interesting dichotomy in perspective.
So what we got is we got older managers, kind of maybe guys like me, who think that they're trying really hard. They think they're doing their best. They're giving it their best shot. And then we got the younger folks, they're maybe 20, 30 years younger, who are saying, you know what, the guy just doesn't get it. Is that kind of what's happening?
Yeah, I think, again, it's a matter of perception. You know, we have a tendency to talk about cultures and service. And I was going back through the archives, read an article, great article you wrote on getting clients to trust our small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if, as leaders of small businesses, we take the same amount of time thinking about, do our employees really trust us? And every mm-hmm. client I talk to, you know, they seem to think that they've got great communication, they've got trust. And then if they do surveys, whether it's Gallup or Boston or whoever it is, or they even do internally the surveys internally themselves, you know, they're shocked and amazed when they see the figures come back on the lack of engagement predicated on the lack of trust.
Well, you know, one of the things I know that the younger generations have, they have a major atomic antenna for manipulation. And if you say one thing and do another, they consider that manipulation, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you're calling it lack of trust, but my point is, typically when managers do that, when they say, okay, this is what we stand for, but then when they actually have an opportunity to prove it in their own actions, they don't do it. What the manager is doing, maybe without realizing, is trying to manipulate customers, manipulate employees, whatever. But what that manipulation does when it lands on the younger employee, it turns into a situation where there's a lack of trust. The trust breaks down.
And, you know, you kind of got to go back to where the roots are on where the lack of trust comes from. But these are all just straws that fall on the camel's back. And the word I hear all the time is, it's just traditional rhetoric. You know, they're just flapping their jaws. They don't mean it. And, you know.
But is it, you know, but you know what? I'm going to push back on you a little bit on this, Mike. I'm sure you've seen the research recently or the report that came out a month or two ago that identified the Gen X folks as a very narcissistic generation. Did you see that?
Yeah, and
what did you think about that report?
They're
narcissistic and self-absorbed.
Yeah, and I guess after interviewing some 400-plus Gen X managers around the United States, you know, I would take some exception with that.
So you don't agree with that?
No, I don't. And if I could play devil's advocate here for just a second, you know, the surveys are done by boomers from a boomer's. Oh, and let me tell your audience, as you know.
So are you saying boomers manipulated the research? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying they manipulated the research, but I'm saying it's from their perspective. And,
yeah?
And let me tell your listeners, I'm well over 50, okay?
Yeah, so. Yeah. You're a full-fledged boomer. You're a card-carrying boomer. I know how you are.
I'm a card-carrying boomer. But I think, you know, where the big error comes in is, you know, they just don't realize initially that before the Gen X or Gen Y, the 20-something, the teens, the 30-something, before they even get to the workplace, they've got a lack of trust in the traditional rhetoric and the things that happened before. And the roots of that, based on the research, are really, really interesting. You know, in the 1980s, when these folks were teenagers, we were in the day and age of the LBO, and millions, tens of millions of folks were
leveraged
off.
Leverage buyouts where, yeah.
And you and I think of a buyout or somebody being laid off as a tragic shame, but it's, you know, I guess we're kind of calloused maybe in a negative way. You know, we see it as part of doing business. The Gen Xers saw it as somebody said, and this actually happened to me in an interview with a girl whose father worked for IBM. I can't believe IBM said my dad isn't good enough to work here anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know the thing. I'm. But you know what though? I wonder. And I'm going to be the devil's advocate here too. And I'm probably going to be a little bit politically incorrect. And I'm going to be a little bit of a hard ankle on this thing, as my dad would have called it. Sometimes I get the feeling that the younger generations just need to grow up and come into the real world. You know, life is not easy. You know, the marketplace isn't like the home you grew up in, where you were basically, you know, given anything you wanted and spoiled beyond reason. I mean, sometimes I have that feeling that maybe, you know what, you just need to grow up a little bit. You know, life is not a bowl of cherries. What do you think?
I understand the
perspective. I know that doesn't, and I don't say that. You've never heard me say that, but what I'm getting at is some of this sounds, I guess what I'm getting at, some of it comes across a little bit as whining.
No, I don't think it's whining. I think
But it sounds like it to boomers it does. Some of it sounds like whining, like they haven't grown up yet.
Yeah, let me suggest this, though. If your external clients had some kind of what we might think of as over-the-top service expectations, you would do everything to meet those expectations. You know, if we're going to be truly pragmatic about the situation, let me, for just the sake of the dialogue, suggest that, yeah, they are self-absorbed, okay? And if they're self-absorbed and they don't have trust, you know, as leaders, what do? Do we sit back and whine about it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we recognize the situation and adjust, just like we would adjust to an external market?
You're exactly right, Mike, because there is a reality here. And that reality is that, as I said when you were coming in, Mike, and that is that these are the people who are going to be managing our businesses over the next decades, and ultimately, these are the generations that we will be selling our businesses to.
Well, and I think it's really critical when you take into account the fact that the generation is 20% smaller, and we're staring a 10 million middle management shortfall in the face as early as next year just because of the size of the folks.
Exactly. Stand by, Mike. We'll take a quick break, folks. Mike Mitchell is our guest. He's the author of They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X, 20 After. Stay with us.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Back, it's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Michael Mutzel. Michael R. Mutzel, M-U-E-T-Z-E-L, Mutzel is how you say his name. It's almost as bad as Blasingame, and he's the author of They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X, Unlock the Mysteries of Today's Human Capital Management. He's talking about the cross-generational chasm that we have out there sometimes between the Gen Xers and the Boomers, and who knows what we got between the Gen Xers and the GI generation. I don't know about that. Maybe they're even closer. I don't know. Mike, give us your website and tell us how we can find your book.
www.unlockthemysteries.com.
Unlockthemysteries.com.
You can get it on Amazon.
All right. And it's really become a phenomenon, this book. You've really opened up some eyes and some doors, and I'm really excited to see how people are recognizing this issue. And it is important. I mean, you know, you and I were talking about this. You were shouting this from the ramparts years ago, 6-7 years you've been working on this, when nobody else was talking about this, Mike. And now other people are starting to say, hey, I think Mike's onto something.
Well, I think what's happened is we at the break we were talking about this generation has, depending on the author, you know, 15 to 20 million less than the boomers.
You're talking about the Xers, the Gen Xers.
I'm talking about
Now tell us, remind us how old they are now.
So we're talking about folks that are basically 24, 25 through 40, 41.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's 20 million less, you know, when you go to replace
maybe more than 20 million less. It may be even smaller.
Yeah, a lot of people stake their claim. I'm not so concerned about the specific numbers as long as we realize that
it's different.
If you go looking for help in the next 3 years in a management position to support you as the owner of your small business, you're going to find it much tougher than you found it 5 years ago.
But, you know, Mike, I have two Gen X children, and they're square in the middle of their age range you just gave. Mm-hmm. They're both professionals. They're both very productive. They're both great kids, and I couldn't be happier about both of them, about what they become. But they grew up thinking that the universe revolved around them to a much greater degree than I did, and that's because of how I raised them. I did that myself. I made them think that they are wonderful. I did that.
There's a fundamental difference, you know. People from my generation kind of grew up living to work, you know, and the career was number one.
That's right.
This generation is so strong, and your kids are. We've talked about this in family values and social issues. You know, where you and I maybe grew up living to work, they work to live. And that's the reason they leave the business at 5 o'clock. But if you look at where they're going, it's Little League practice, ballet practice. You know, the divorce rates are down with Generation X. The family
is that a fact?
Much higher.
I hadn't heard that about the divorce rates.
Well, and it's, you know, the, I want to say like 51.7 down to 49.6.
Well, let me ask you this question. Let's get back to trust for a minute. What can this issue of trust, can't we solve a lot of that by just basically doing what we say, and if we come up with if we have a business strategy, if we claim that our corporation, our business has a culture, or it has a mission or whatever, that we actually think about what that means in terms of with respect to how we behave as managers, the people who create this mission, who are driving this culture, who are leading this culture, I should say. Shouldn't we pay more attention to how we're actually seen in our own behavior, rather than just the words that come out of our mouth? If we can do that, won't that build trust?
Absolutely. And I hear three quick things from the people that I research and continue to interview all the time. You know, number one is you got to tell the truth. And I know you're an advocate of that, but the difference is you got to tell it faster. You know, where we would continue to research stuff, these folks are used to getting information. If I want to know what the weather is in San Francisco, I can find out in 20 seconds. So when management withholds information, not intentionally, but because they're trying to make the right decision, it's seen as contributing to the lack of trust.
Because they've already found it on their own, haven't they?
Absolutely. The second thing is you got to walk the walk, you know, and you and I were talking. I had an experience with a client where I was interviewing a manager, and all they do is talk about service, hospitality industry. All they do is talk about service, service, service. And then he heard his manager kind of sarcastically making fun of a guest who had continued to whine about little things. And the middle manager, who was a Gen Xer, said to me, he said, they're so hypocritical. You know, he talks about service, but yet he makes fun of one of the guests in front of the other staff. How am I supposed to build a service culture? And even the smallest little examples in walk the walk come into play. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, finally, if you ask them for feedback, if you ask them for ideas, or you ask them to take a survey, another complaint I get all the time is, you know, they asked me for my opinion. I never found out what happened. So if you ask them for information, make sure you give them the feedback. Even
well, you
if
know,
feedback is, I think there's some areas that are of concern in that. Here are the areas of concern, you know, as opposed to saying, we tried it before. It didn't work. Why not say, we tried it before. We had this issue. Can you solve that issue? Because this would be a wonderful way to improve service.
Well, and I think you got to ask them, don't you? I mean, you got to have this conversation with them, so you know what's going on inside their heads.
Well, and if they're not engaged in the organization, then they're going to continue consistent with the national statistics of changing jobs every 3 years, 20% less to choose from, and your world is going to be really tough.
If you wonder why your Gen Xers are leaving you instead of staying with you, you probably need to look at yourself. Hey, Mike, thanks for being here. Give us that website again quickly, please.
www.unlockthemysteries.com, and feel free to email me with any questions, and I'll help your listeners any way I can.
Thanks, Michael. See you next time.
You're the best, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Bill Dunkelberg after these messages. Stay with us.
Old
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.